Welcome to the Life Boss Podcast. Are you ready to be unstoppable? Karen Mieses here, your business strategist and productivity expert, calling BS on the lies keeping us stuck. I share with you the top tips and tricks to hug your body, soul, and mind so that you squash all the overwhelm, stop glorifying stress, and design a business that brings you joy. If you are ready to show up and work smarter, I want to show you how to become unstoppable. Let's dive in. Welcome to a new episode of The Life Boss, Becoming Unstoppable. And this is our first episode of this new decade of 2020. So much pressure around that. And I couldn't be happier than to have a co-author of Dear Time. Are you on my side? And her name is Habiba Jessica Salmon. Am I saying it right?
That's right.
Yes. And I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to fall short for sure, because this boss mama is like off the charts. She's like my dream list of people to interview. And I could say like, she raised her hand and I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't have to chase her. So she has a master degree in professional counseling, specializing in trauma. She's the therapist and owner of North Star of Georgia Counseling. With 15 years of experience working in the counseling field, including counseling advocacy, guidance, and education, she believes that as a person becomes more aware of their fears, perceptions, desires, and strength, they can make a make successful life changes. And we have been talking so much about each one of those through the past 20 episodes that it couldn't be more timely. I honestly believe that something happens for a reason. So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction. I feel completely honored that you want to have me here. I love it. A little bit about myself. I am all of the things you just said, then also a mommy of two little boys, a single mommy of two boys, not little anymore, but they are, you know, I call them my babies. They will forever be my babies, but we have one in middle school. So maybe to let go of the babies part of it. And being a therapist and a business owner and an author is secondary, hand in hand with being a mom. And that makes me me. That makes me who I am. It does.
Yes, yes. I love it that you always say my babies. And I'm like, how old are they now? I was listening
12.
To Yes. I was listening to a podcast that you did an episode with Tanya in and on her podcast, and it was amazing. I'm like, her babies are not that baby anymore. Yes, and I am just like that with mine. Yes, right. They are growing way too fast. And right. We were talking, Habiba and I were talking earlier when we were setting the tone for this episode about the madness that have been created in the media for selling purposes, that we need to have figured out now how we are going to set the tone for the next 10 years. How are we going to make this decade the best decade ever? And I was confessing that I could have hopped into that bandwagon from what I do, but it didn't feel right. Like, I didn't even, guys, honestly, I wrote an email last week about, if you're feeling behind, you're not alone. And why are you feeling behind? Because we are the ones that are supposed to set the tone. So Habiba wrote on Dear Time, she set the tone for that book with the first chapter in What is Time? What is time? So with all this buzz in the media, you know that my mission is to land the plane with the facts, so that we can live according to our own timetable and according to our rules and be successful on our own terms.
So let's take the bulls by the horn. And what is this? What is this old madness with the decade thing and the best decade ever?
Well, I think, you know, we all want that. We all want to feel like we're in the driver's seat of our life. And in making these goals and plans and visions, which are all great. I do that for myself. I do that for my children. I do that with all of my clients, right? We have a vision. We have some we're trying to go, landmarks that we're trying to overcome. We have all of that. But what trips us up is we define it by our self-worth. I was actually talking to my girlfriends last night about this. We do a monthly meeting and we hold each other accountable. And, you know, one of our issues that we discuss is how I define success, how I define productivity, how I define getting things done, how I define being in charge. And for me, you know, what I learned in my life and what I've learned in every work with, it feels good. It feels good to be in charge. It's good to be in control of the outcome, which is why we make these big productions of watch this be the best year of my life. Watch this be the best decade of my life. And what we do, unfortunately, if you don't understand the reason behind it, you set yourself up for failure. Even if you have all of these marks, it's the way you go about meeting them that ends up, you know, taking something away from you, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And I like how you frame this into what does that mean for me? Mm-hmm. What does it mean? I think many times we start doing things for pressures outside, what other people think, what we have been trained to believe that other people think through the culture and education, and we have all these beliefs.
Right.
But we don't stop to say, okay, how do I want even to feel about this? Because the thing is that we start things for all these external factors and we stop doing things and we quit because of how we feel.
Right. Right. And, you know, like we were talking before the recording started, you know, it's a new decade. Yes, that's incredible. It's wonderful. But did we take a moment to celebrate the fact that we survived the last decade and all the things that we've overcome, the transformations that we've been through? I am not the same woman I am today that I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same woman I am today that I was 5 years ago or 3 years ago even. My kids will tell you. And, you know, we get on this, like you said, this bandwagon of let's go, 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 chugging to the future, that we don't take a moment to embrace all that we've become in the process of the last decade, in the process of the last 3 months, in the process of the last week even, depending on what happens in your life, you know?
Yes.
We have to give ourselves that grace.
Yes, and I'm an advocate of understanding that to get where we want to be, we have to understand where we are right now and not to dwell on the past, but even the learning or the rewards and awards we have gotten, everything makes what we are now. And when we understand how we got here, it outlines a clear path for where we're going to go. Particularly with setting boundaries. I know that for me helps me because knowing how I want to feel and how I do not want to feel anymore and what triggers me helps me to say, okay, how am I going to flow through the next? Right. Because shit is going to happen anyway.
Always. Always. I mean, that's the one thing that we can guarantee, right? One thing we can guarantee is that I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. I can have an idea, but I can't guarantee it. But one of the things in psychology, one of my favorite quotes, absolute favorite quotes, it's by Carl Jung. And this is not how he phrased it. This is my, you know, some paraphrasing of that. But basically he said, until you make your unconscious conscious, rule your life, but you'll we'll call it. So what it's trying to say is we go through the same patterns of fear because we don't stop to see what we're doing or where those beliefs, like you said, and behaviors came from. Examine the past to see who you are today. Have no say over where the future is going to go.
Yes, I love that. And especially because it's so, I don't know, in the past 10 years, my life have changed so much. I have had plans, and I think that I've been thinking about, I should write a book titled Mastering the Art of Planning for the Unplanned. Because you have all these great plans, everything right. is on paper, and then when you go to execution,
yeah,
it's like, oh, no, it's not that way. Or things move, or like external things affect us.
Right. Because life happens.
Yeah, or because we are growing and evolving, it doesn't make sense anymore. And
right.
we need to switch.
Right. And that's where I think we get stuck with this planning, right? We have this vision. We have these goals that we need to meet, and this is where we're going to go. And then you just get tunnel vision of this is what needs to happen. But that rigidity of not allowing yourself to be human, not allowing for life take place, what it does is it ends up doing the opposite, where it makes you feel like a failure when you haven't met wanting, or you haven't met it within a time frame that you set for yourself. It makes you feel like you're not living up to your potential when we can't be so fixated on the definition of that potential. Does that make sense? We can have a general theme of what it means, for example, to be successful. You know, and so when I hit this much numbers, then I'm successful. Well, when I had this much of an audience, then I'm successful. When this many clients, I'm successful. When I have this much money in the bank, then I'm successful. Because when you have those rigid marks, and let's say, you know, a recession hits, that's not within your realm of control. So does that mean then you're not successful? No, that's not what that means. You know, being able to overcome something like a recession and you're still standing at the end of it, that is success.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You have this vision of, I have a partnership and I have, you know, this one person who's going to be with me, my ride and die, you know, kind of person in a professional and personal world. And then they're not there anymore. What does that mean then? Does that mean that I give up everything that I believed in? Does that mean that I no longer am successful because my partner decided not to be with me through the ride? No, it doesn't. Because that completely takes out the other component, which there's humans around us. And based yes. on what they choose, that also impacts who we are, where we go, and how fast we go. Right? So we yes. can't be so rigid and tunnel vision about what this definition is.
So what would you think, like, let's say that our audience, they want to lead the life boss, being the boss of your life, yes. the one setting the pace.
Yes.
In that framework, if I want to be like, my ultimate things is to feel in control as much as I can of my path. What do you think should be a guiding beacon?
So first you have to understand why that control.
Okay.
Why is that? Why is that so important? And then what happens when you don't have it? So for example, oh, I'm the queen of control. Oh my goodness. I control freak, 1,000%. And we laugh about it. My clients laugh about it. My children laugh about it. My friends laugh about it. Like, and we just laugh at how ridiculous my need for control is. It is what it is. So my job is not to change that about who I am. This is who I am now. Does that make sense? I can't yes. redefine that part of me. Can redefine what that means for me. Before, you know, my need for control was literally, I control everything. I have a schedule for when I clean. I have a schedule for when I do this. And, you know, when I had the babies, it was like sleeping, eating, feeding, playtime, tummy time.
I hear you.
Rigid schedule. And I had that rigid schedule. And, you know, you have to graduate by this time. You have to do your boards within this time, within the first marker that you can get your board exams completed. You have to not only complete it, you have to also master it. And I did, because I'm neurotic. I did.
Oh, yes, preaching to the choir.
Right. But I took my board exams 4 months after delivering second child.
Wow.
What mother can say that they're sleeping enough, let alone to study and pass board exams, right? To be licensed. I mean, thankfully, I did, because God, what would have happened if I didn't? And at that time, that's what my definition was of succeeding in life, right? I have to finish it. But can you imagine what would have happened to my sense of self if I didn't? Because I wouldn't take into account clearly that you have a 2-year-old at home and a new baby, that you had a C-section that's not doing well with the thing. You're not sleeping. It's not sleeping through the night. It's not going to sleep through the night for another 18 months, which I didn't know at the time. But with all of that, who has the brain power to be able to effectively and pass?
Yes, right? Yes. And that's major undertaking. That sometimes mm-hmm. it's not until we are talking about it, like you're sharing now, that it's like, wow, how the heck did you do that? But right. when we are going through it, we do not give ourselves credit.
Exactly. Or compassion.
Yes.
We don't give ourselves that compassion of, it's okay if your brain feels dead. You haven't slept in 6 months. You know? You haven't taken care of your body in almost 6 months at this point. Like, it's okay. And we don't give ourselves that it's okay. Still struggle with that. I'm not going to say that I've overcome everything, but now I am aware of this. And I'm aware of why I needed to achieve that. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely knowing why you want things, the things that we want, put things in perspective. Mm-hmm. But another thing that I have a tendency to be controlling, very controlling person, and I have ADD. So mm-hmm. it's very hard to deal. And in the process of my growth, I encounter a professional that helped me refocus my control needs, because I need mm-hmm. them. Like, I need yes. them. It's just inside me.
That's you.
That's part of who I am. Mm-hmm. So I started to refocus on how I wanted to feel, because I do can control how I am reacting to things yes. in a way that I am feeling better about myself, finding my words. I always say that my words still are, and they have been for 5 years, feeling fit, fun, and thrive. Like, I need to feel that I am well in my body and right. soul, that I am having fun. Like, if these right. things that we are doing are not, there's not a glimpse of fun, right. I am not going to be able to bear right. all the other things that I don't like, because there has to be that balance. And then thriving, I need to feel that I'm growing, that I'm moving forward. So when I focus there on this, my reactions and how I'm possibly doing this, then I can start exercising like that awareness. Have you yes. seen that?
Absolutely. I do that. That's the first thing to teach, right? Because, well, the first thing I teach is accepting you for you, right? It's just like what I said about your need to control, just like my need to control and my need to get things done. It's always going to be there. And instead of spending all of this time controlling everything in sight, you know, once you recognize that that's what you need, accept that that's what you need, have the awareness of what it feels like when you have the need to, you know, to control something, then you can redirect that attention, because you're going to need it. We can't let it go. I don't believe in letting it go. There's no letting anything go. We just redirect the message.
Oh, I love that.
Follow through.
Yeah.
Disney's going to fire me from, you know, Frozen. Their Let It Go song. And it's true. I don't believe in letting it go. You know, our brains, you know, the way neuroplasticity works is when you have a need, right? For you, it's control. For me, it's productivity. Same thing, same underlying basis. It's still control
yes.
of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that, if I focus my energy to say, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to let it go, where energy still being focused on? the issue that needs to be controlled, right? The focus, it's still even telling myself, because your subconscious doesn't care what you tell it. That's conscious brain. It doesn't care one whit at all. Or, you know, I'm trying to be professional, but otherwise, you know, I would tell my clients, like, your subconscious doesn't give a fuck about, you know, what your conscious brain is telling it. So we could tell something new all day long, but if it doesn't ring true to your subconscious, it's not going to work. So we don't let things go. We override what it's doing with something that's a little bit different, but still in alignment with the same truth. Does that make sense?
Oh my God, that makes so much sense. This is what I talk about. When we say we need to land the plane, this is it. I've never heard it explained so tangible. Like, awesome. It's not that, for me, it's not that I am suppressing this.
Yes.
But how am I going to redirect the energy so that I am not creating here a bomb?
Right.
Because I'm bottling up and somehow I need to canalize, where is this going, right?
Because it's coming out regardless, right?
Yes.
We can't repress things because it's going to come out. Even if it's not in this direction, it'll come out in all of these other directions, whether it's our negativity towards what we're doing or, you know, snapping on our children, deflecting that, you know, anger, frustration, even shame onto all these other things that it doesn't belong on. So it's better to never repress these things. You don't repress them because what you resist will persist. That's who we are. That's what's constantly being reinforced. That's what neuroplasticity means. It's creating habits, right? We have these habits based on these messages from when we were children, based on what we experienced. Do you really know yourself something different really work? Just because you told yourself? You know,
absolutely.
I wish. That would be so much easier. It would make my life so much easier with the work that I do if I can just say, oh, well, stop.
Yeah, like just switching.
Yeah, we can. And I love, exactly, switching. It is a switchboard, right, in your brain. When you're in that moment with a belief, you can't let it go lead because the attention is still on the issue. And the issue is typically wrapped up in a fear from the past or anxiety from the future. So trying to let it go doesn't work. Only thing you can do is flip the switch to the present moment. It's something that's reflective of the truth from the moment. For example, if issue that I'm having a hard time with, let's say, is this podcast, right? Up until we connected at 11 o'clock today, I didn't know what we were about. And throughout what I do and what specialty is, and I told you, I was like, I can do anything mental health related, trauma related, identity related, mommy related. Like that's my life right now. So, and then you're like, okay, we'll roll with that. Perfect. Now for someone who has control issues, that's not enough defining, right? Not enough defining boundaries of what this podcast is going to look like. And 3 years ago, that would have given me anxiety. Because I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know what route this conversation is going to take. What if I completely freeze? Even now, like the example that I gave you, what if I couldn't come up with an example? So these are all of the messages that would go on and on and on in my head back in the day, 5 years ago, 3 years ago even. Except now, because that switch is on with my past history of the messages that I tell myself, right? If you're not in control, if you're not prepared, you won't be good enough. You won't be worthy of that time slot that she gave you. You're not going, all of these negative beliefs that I do have, those are things I struggle with. No matter how much I've worked on them, that is still part of my narrative based on how I grew up, based on my life story, right? And so all of that would have flooded me and I can't let it go. I wish I could walk around and sing Let It Go. You know, I know the whole song by heart, my poor children, they're boys. So they're like, oh, mom, please stop, right? That would be wonderful, but it doesn't work. What I have to do instead is recognize, okay, yes, that's what happens. You need control. You need to know where this is going, and you don't right now. And this is where I flip the switch to the present. So it shuts that up completely. And the present is, okay, this podcast is situated between your day of sessions. The podcast related to all of the specialize in whatever you know, you know. The end. I may not know what the specific topic is. And look, we're nowhere near whatever topic that we could have even come up with, right?
Yes.
So organically, you know, organic transformation like that is not comfortable for people who need control, right? They need to know where this is going. We don't. We're just letting it flow. Not because we can let that need go, but because I know that all of my need for control is situated with what I already know. What I know, what I feel, what I believe is already in here, right?
Yes, all and you're doing beautifully.
Thank you. But that's what I have to tell myself. I can't just say, don't worry about it, because that's not true based on my belief system. When you don't worry about it, bad things happen. That's what I believe, right? That's what I've been taught. That's what life has taught me. That if you don't know where you're going, if you don't coming, bad things happen. And so I can't just say, don't worry about it. Nothing's going to end, because that's not a truth for me. I have replaced the automatic belief that comes up within anxiety. I have to replace it and override it with a truth of mine. And that truth is, it doesn't matter what you ask me. If I know it, I know it. And if I don't know it, I'm going to tell you I don't know it. That's not part of my specialty.
And that is part of the growth as well.
Yes. So instead of stating on how to let this go, I don't let that go. I embrace it. Yes, this was my life. Yes, this is my belief system, fortunately. This was what my path has taught me. I can give myself compassion that you are. It's a little dark and jaded and, you know, jagged edges all around. But that's what me. And the and is what you replace it with. And anything she asks me, if it's within my realm of knowledge and understanding, it'll be there. It is there. If it's not, we'll talk about it together. Yeah. I will be okay regardless, right?
And isn't it, it's very interesting that this has happened to me also as being somebody that have been dealing with control issues, and I still am going to deal with them because it's my nature.
Right.
That we focus so much on what we are thinking that we don't think about the other person.
Right.
Because really I was totally freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so intimidated. And I'm like, and in the past year, I've been working really hard on compassion for myself and also empathy with the other person, and opening up and saying, maybe this person feels exactly the way I am. And more often than not, particularly working with overachieving business women, it is, there's a common play field that is like, oh my God, I feel like that too.
Right. And how does connection happen? Connection happens with shared experience, right?
Exactly.
Who you will connect with, who you will admire, who you will love, who will love you back, is all the ones that understand you both ways.
Yeah. So as we move forward in the beginning of the year, or let's say that you are listening to this later on at the beginning of the quarter, or anytime that you need to restart something, would you encourage people to focus on goals or on habits?
So both. What I do is I've been doing this for about 8 to 10 years. I don't know when it happened. It was after the birth of my first son, and he was about a year and a half old. We were in the car, my ex-husband, but he was my husband then. He was driving the car, and it was close to 10 years ago, because I had just started my private practice. And so I'm like, you know, on my phone, and I'm so fixated on the clients. I have to give them their reminders, and I do this, I have to do that. And the sun was setting. I am one of those people, and I was when my son was born, where I will pull the car over. I'm like, look at the sunset. look how pretty. Look at the colors. It's beautiful. I've almost run off the side of the road looking at like a big moon, like a full moon, one of those huge ones, or if it's pink or something. So I love things like that. But here I am fixated on my phone, trying to get everything done, you know? And it's like, mommy, look at the sunset. I think you're not quite to it. And I was like, yeah, pretty. And I went back to doing, because I'm trying to do this as with each red light because I get motion sickness. So I can only do it when the car stopped. I was like, yeah, pretty. And then my son, seriously, not even 2 years old, he says, you used to love sunsets, mommy. And they killed me. It killed me. It did. I talk about smack in the face. And I was like, you're right. Put the phone away. And I was like, look how pretty. Look at the colors, right? And so we went through all of that. And but that did something for me. I was like, when was the last time I was able to appreciate something that used to bring me joy? When was the last time I felt joy? Oh my God, I don't know the last time I felt any kind of joy. It's all been, I need to, you know, go to grad school.
Oh, you got frozen.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
So it was just that I need to, not smelling the roses along the way, right? And my not even 2-year-old called me out on my stuff. And so it's just like, okay. So that's where this activity started way back when, where my first word was joy. And if my whole day by midpoint, which would have been 3 o'clock, I didn't consciously acknowledge something that brought me joy, I would pause everything and do something and make it happen, right?
I love that. Yes.
And now people who meet me, they're like, oh yeah, you're full of joy. And I giggle all the time. Like I giggle like a schoolgirl. It's ridiculous. But I do. I love it. And I do. I find joy in small things, in music, in all of whatever, right? But that was not natural for me. That because my brain didn't have the neural pathways to associate joy with experiences. It just wasn't there. And now I've learned, last year, one of my closest friends, Joy, she found this woman, her name is Edwards, and she does this online thing about called the One Little Word. So it's exactly what I just told you, but she just has a whole class on it. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So as far as goal setting goes, I do believe in setting a broad goal, right? Whether it's joy, for me this year, it's rest, because I can't seem to rest. And really rest. I'll sit on the couch and do a bunch of stuff, but I'm on the couch and, you know, like, there we go. No, that's not resting. That's not, stop. So it's what I'm going to work on this year. But, you know, this woman, Allie Edwards, she created this whole class on it, on you pick this one word and then you focus every week on when you do these different activities, which is beautiful because it really creates those neural pathways in your brain that's not there for what that word is. There's a deficiency, whatever that word may be for you. So the goal is this big, you know, overarching theme that you want for your life, you know, and for you, it was to thrive, right? You said you want to feel good, and you want to have fun, and you want to thrive. So one of those words would be the overall theme. And then habits, that's how you build the habits. Like for me, it was by the midday, if I didn't experience it consciously, I will make it. And that's how habits form. You see me like wandering around the house, the office, my poor clients, they've caught me doing salsa and, you know, waltzing around by myself. My poor cats, you know, I do waltz with them as well. Some songs, they take off running. Like, John Legend, we know she's going to try to grab one of them. Let it go. Run. Because I'll waltz with them. I'll oxtrot with them. I'll salsa or I'll cha-cha with them in the house because that brings me joy, right?
Yeah.
So these little things that I incorporate now during, and I don't have to put any effort. I don't have to put any thought behind it because, you know, I've already created the habit that reinforce that big goal, whatever that big goal is. But it cannot be so rigid that it doesn't allow for moments of depression. When life hits you really hard or unexpected things that happen or you lose a loved one, you have to have grace in setting these goals, because otherwise, you know, then not only are you dealing with the traumatic events that happened, even if that trauma is life's not going the way I wanted it to, you have to cope with that, and you have to cope with you didn't meet your goal. Doesn't that sound like you're setting yourself up? Doesn't that sound like self-sabotage?
Yeah. Oh my God. I can listen to you like for hours, girl. Yes. And when you said that, that word your word was joy, for our listeners, you know, my words, and for those of you that are new, there are some things that come second nature, but the part of fun that does not come second nature to me, that have been an overarching theme many years, because I know that I needed to have a life that I'm really enjoying. Had to do with what we talk about, the like, why are you doing this? How do you? And I never allow myself to just have fun. Like, I felt like, right, vacation, oh, you work so hard, you deserve it. Or taking a break. No, when I finish this, then I'll go and I do. Like, I always was overworking myself to earn the right to do something fun.
That's the key word. You feel like you have to earn it, that you don't just deserve it.
Exactly. So then I grab that word and I say, I need this for my sanity.
Yes.
And it doesn't have like a quantifiable results in terms of maybe productivity, right, or finance, or, but in the end, because I am feeling this way, everything else is going to flow. So
yes,
I don't think that there's not a right or wrong way to go about it. Right. We always finish the show giving our audience an experiment for the week. Like, okay, one thing we want to make this show like really tangible for you, that you can take one, like get something away. What will you tell to them, Habiba, to do this week to get on that road to, okay, improvement throughout, yeah, this year?
So my first thought, and I'm just going to go with my first thought, it's not the fun, enjoyable part of it, but I do think it's necessary, is when you feel that tug preventing from doing something that you want to do, I want you to sit with it. I want them to set a timer for 20 minutes, and I want them to continuously write, and while being curious about, why is there a block? Why am I pausing? What's that tug? What is that saying? Because that's protection. It is. It's your brain protecting you from whatever, you know, you're trying to do based on whatever belief they have, right? So I want them to continuously write, caveat, every 7 to 10 minutes, there's going to be a block where they feel like, I'm done. You're not done. You have to keep going until the timer goes off. You have to keep writing. And because you go through your primary set of understanding, right? That's the conscious level. That's basic surface level stuff. You hit a block. You force yourself to keep writing, you'll go to your secondary, and the goal is eventually to get to the tertiary, which are the deep reasons. So if the reason is, oh, I'm feeling a block because I don't really have time, I'm kind of tired, this is a whole new thing, it's going to take a lot more energy than I'm maybe wanting to give right now. So that's primary. Secondary is going to be, well, what if I can't keep up with it? And then that's just one more thing on my plate that may not get done. And then if it doesn't get done, then other things will fall off my plate. You see how a little bit deeper. Tertiary would be because I'm a failure. Because if I start something new and I don't achieve this, then I'm a failure. And I can't sit with that. So that's what's pulling. That's that tug. That's an example of the tug of, I want to do this, but I'm feeling resistance from myself. So what I want the readers, or not the readers, the listeners to do, is I want them to be courageous, because it's not fun to sit here and read through what your brain gives you back, right? Set a timer for, let's say, 30 minutes. Continuously write, being curious about it. I wonder why. Not let me find an answer, but just curiosity, and really explore what that hesitancy is, so then they can take that and give themselves that compassion and say, ah, yeah, that makes sense. It sucks, but it makes sense. I get it. Oh, yeah, there we go. Failure thing. Damn it. You know? And then be like, yeah, that's how I am, and it makes sense why I'm here right now. Really be able to give yourself compassion and understanding on why you're hesitating. And then you can choose, am I going to go through with it already? Or you know what? I need to sit here and work through this first.
I love that. Actually, I don't know why, but the universe aligned because I needed that today. I'm like, yes, that's such a good one. And especially when I've been having a lot of resistance after all the changes in our family, with my father-in-law passing away. And it's like, I don't want to do anything. So I think this one can come to mind. I'm going to do it for this Beautiful. Week. I'm going to write to see what comes about and not putting pressure that I have to have an answer, but just right. I like that of having curiosity. Where is this coming from? And courage to just sit down and acknowledge that this is happening. I love it. I have to have you back. There are so many topics. I'm like, I don't want to jump because I'm going to take the panoramic route. But there, like, you have touched into so many important topics that we need to address to level up our life. And particularly because, yes, we can do anything, but we cannot do everything. So in that right. process of selecting what we are going for,
right.
being really compassionate. I think that's a big one today. Being compassionate with us and not feeling like the guilt trip of, well, I cannot do that now.
Right.
So that we can be full in with what we decide that we are going to go for. Right. So Habiba, where can the listeners follow you and know more about you?
So my site, habibazaman.com. It's a beautiful thing that my intern created.
And we are going to put all her information in the show notes.
Thank you for tuning in, Rockstar. If you enjoyed today's show, subscribe, rate, and give us a review on iTunes. Also, head over to lifebosspodcast.com to get access to some free resources to help you with today's experiment. Do you want to be a guest? Email me to thelifebosspodcast@gmail.com to learn how.